spectral and outside of time, God's written word is. This week, I would love to continue on that same vein and talk about Christ as Adonai, which means Lord. We did have a slideshow. It's coming. So, firstly, I will just introduce myself. I'm Christina. I was born and bred here, local, and I never really left. My husband, Caleb, is from Oamaru down South Island, and we have three beautiful daughters, Aviella, Ruthia, and Brielle. If you go to the next slide, you'll see our family. Here we are. Now, I wanted to just share a little bit about our names because lots of people get them mixed up and don't know how to pronounce my kids' names. So, Aviella, she's my firstborn. Her name means God is my father. So when we were pregnant with her, we wanted a really strong name that would remind her of where her identity comes from, that God is her father. And then Ruthia, we didn't find out the gender of Ruthia until her birth. So we were going to call her Boaz, but surprise, she was a girl, and so she got the name Ruth, which is Boaz's wife. And just a little note about Boaz, he was the kinsman redeemer, which was also the prophecy or foreshadowing of Jesus coming to save the Gentiles, not only Israel. And then Leah is not with us. So Leah was a pregnancy that I had back in 2018, which unfortunately was a miscarriage. And we chose the name Leah, which means belonging to God. And I will come back to Leah a little bit later. But Brielle, our youngest, who's 5 now, her name means God is my strength. Her pregnancy was quite hard. She was also a surprise baby. I thought that after 3, I was done and I didn't want any more kids. But God gave us Brielle, and I'm so blessed and so thankful for that because she just brought a lot of healing and a lot of joy to our family. So that's not actually part of my message, but we will get into that now. So names carry a lot of weight and meaning, and throughout Scripture, God gave or had many names that described different characteristics of who he was to the people of Israel. And today we will explore what it looks like to call God Adonai, Lord and Master, Ruler and King. But to understand what Adonai means, we need to go back to the beginning. So we're going to start with Elohim. So Elohim is the first reference name of God, which means God, supreme, creator of all things, over the universe, over the heavens, over earth, and man. So in Gen 1:1 it says, in the beginning God, and that word there is Elohim. He created the heavens and the earth. And then God, Elohim, said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. So Elohim is also plural. And later on in Scripture we find out that God is not only just one, he is also God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so God spoke the word into being. He breathed life, and there was life. Our minds can't fathom the power and the existence of the all-powerful being. The truth of creation's existence means that we belong to God, that he alone is God, that he is God, you are not, and neither am I. We are his, and he is the rightful ruler of our lives because he is the creator of everything. And then, later on in Genesis 2, we see another name introduced. So this is YHWH. So some people say Yahweh, like the song that we just sung, Forever Yahweh. Others say Jehovah or Jehovah. But the Jewish community actually pronounce it as Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is a little bit of a mouthful. So I'm going to stick with Jehovah today, just when I'm referring to this name. So these four letters were considered so holy and sacred that it was only uttered out loud by the priests worshipping in the Jerusalem temple. It's recorded more than 6,500 times in the scriptures, but over time there has been varying different pronunciations and interpretations of how to say the name because it wasn't something that was commonly spoken because of its holiness. And so, it's Genesis. Yes, up there. So, then the Lord, Jehovah Elohim, formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. So it's only now in scripture that we see this word Jehovah introduced. Earlier it's just talking about Elohim. So God creates man, and the scriptures begin to introduce the intimate relationship between man and God, describing a different characteristic of God through the use of Jehovah. This means the existing one, the proper name of the one true God, eternal and supreme, a name of God to identify who he was to the Israelites, their own God, the only God. Now we see Adonai. So Adonai was used because of the reverence of the name Jehovah. Adonai was taken in its place when it was spoken out loud, or when people were talking amongst themselves about God. So Adonai translated actually means Lord, Master, Ruler, and Sovereign God. So this name is actually positional. So it's a title for both God and positional for his people. So Adonai as the Lord and his people as their servants. Adonai appears more than 300 times in the Old Testament, but it was used in the place of Yahweh, which is, or Jehovah, which is more than 6,000 times in the scripture. Now, the Greek translation is Kyrios, which actually appears more than 700 times, and we will get a little bit later into the New Testament. But Abraham. So Abraham, here he is, was the first person to, in scripture, use the name Adonai when he was talking to God. He calls out, or God calls Abraham out at the age of 17. He promises him land, descendants, and a covenant of blessing. And Abraham faithfully and obediently follows God's calling and leaves his family to go to the land that God was showing him, which was Canaan. So in Genesis 15, verse 1 to 6, sometime later, the Lord Jehovah, or Jehovah, spoke to Abraham in a vision, and he said, "Don't be afraid, Abraham. I will protect you, and your reward will be great." But Abraham replied, "O sovereign Lord God, Adonai Jehovah, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you have given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant of my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." And then Genesis 15, verses 4 to 6. Then the Lord Jehovah said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son, and you and your own will be your heir." Then the Lord Jehovah took Abraham outside and said to him, "Look up at the stars and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham believed the Lord Jehovah, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. And he was 75 years old. So Abraham believed the Lord Jehovah, that God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was calling out because he had not seen God's promises fulfilled. God had kept declaring things over him. "I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you descendants that are going to be more numerous than the stars." And Abraham was like, "Where are you, Lord God, my master, my king? Where is your prophecy being fulfilled?" So in Genesis 16, Sarah still does not have any children, so she tries to make God's prophecy happen in her own strength. Her servant Hagar, she gives to Abraham, and they have a child called Ishmael. Abraham had faith that God would fulfill his promises, but Sarah did not trust in God's timing or plan. So when we take God's promises into our own hands and force them to happen in our own strength, it births something that wasn't part of God's plan. God can do the impossible, but we have to be patient and obedient. We have to trust in his timing, his sovereign, and follow him. When we call God Adonai, we are acknowledging that God is in control, and that his ways are above our ways, and we will be patient and faithful. So this is where the rock comes in. So each year, I try to spend some time getting either a vision, a picture, or a word for the year ahead, either for us as a family or just for me personally. And in 2017, I got the word new vision and a picture of like some new sunglasses. And so I felt like God that year was changing a little bit of my worldview and my perspective of how I see things. And then in 2018, I got the image of a vine or a giant tree, and I got the scripture in John 15 where it says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you." And so I was like, great, this year we're going to see lots of fruit, because the word I got was bearing fruit, like fruit on a grapevine, fruit on a tree. And I was like, okay, we're going to see fruitfulness in our work, we're going to see fruitfulness in our family, we're going to see fruitfulness in our church. At the time we were part of a different church called Synergy, which was in South Beach. And then April. So we went along to a conference in March, Caleb and I, and we ended up getting pregnant. And so in April we had the lovely news that we were going to be having another child. And so I was like, great, this is what God meant. Fruitfulness in our family, we're going to actually have another baby. And then I thought, also Caleb had recently started another job, and I thought, okay, there's going to be fruitfulness in provision and with Caleb's work. And we, Synergy Church had only been running since 2016, so I thought, great, okay, we've been doing it for 2 years. Now, third year, it's really going to take off. We're going to see more people in the church, and just a real fruitfulness in that area as well. But unfortunately, that wasn't the plan. So I have here my Christmas newsletter, which I like to write each year, and I just wanted to read you a little piece from it. So this year in April, we found out that we were pregnant, expecting a baby to come early January of 2019. But in July, at 16 weeks pregnant, a scan showed that we had lost the baby without knowing. So, on the 1st of August, Lael, pronounced Lael, not Lael, was born at North Shore Hospital with no heartbeat. It was a hard time for us all, which led us into a month of illness in the household, and then a finishing of Caleb's job, all in the same month. But as a family, it brought us together a lot closer. We were so blessed by all those who sent cards and flowers, cooked us meals, and even babysat our other two children. Grief comes and goes in waves, but we have the hope that one day we will be reunited with Lael. Philippians 1 verse 6 says that I am certain that God, who began this good work within me, will continue it until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So this is what the rock is. Now this morning, this little portion of my message wasn't actually written in, hence why I've got quite a few papers here. But on my way into church, I was reminded of this rock. And I'll just read to you what it says. So it's written on the front, bearing fruit, 2018. And so we've got Caleb's job, we've got Lael, we've got God's prophecy, we've got church, and we've got family. Each one of the things on this rock were meant to bear fruit, but unfortunately, in my eyes, it felt like they did the opposite. So Caleb's job finished. Lael passed away. The prophecy of bearing fruit looked like it wasn't going to be fruitful at all. Our church, at the end of 2018, said that they were discontinuing and that they were parting ways. So then we were in a position where we had to look for a different church, which is lovely because we found Mahonangi Vineyard Church here in 2019, but it just felt like the chair had been pulled out from under our family. Not only did we lose a baby, but we also went through a month of all of us being really sick and Caleb finishing work, and he had about a month or more actually where he didn't have any work. And so yeah, it was a very hard time. I went to a conference shortly after Lael was born, about a month, and this is where the rock comes in, because it was about God's faithfulness, and they said, write down on your rock your things of disappointment, and then they said, these rocks of disappointment can be made into altars of worship. So at the time, I didn't know what it was going to look like what kind of worship would come out of all of these things that we had lost that year. And this morning, just holding the rock and just feeling that weight again of remembering everything that we went through that year and the disappointment we had to go through with all of the loss, and just how that changed what the year looked like. And it really made me question, why, God, would you get my hopes up and giving me the word bearing fruit just to then rip it out from me? But in John 15, I'll just go there now. It's called Jesus is the True Vine. It says from verse 5, "Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. So those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything that you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father." So I realized that I was trying to, just like Sarah with the new baby, I was trying to force God's hand. I thought that I had it figured out of what it looked like for a year of fruitfulness, that it was going to be more money in the bank from the job, it was going to be another baby addition to our family, it was going to be fruitfulness in our church that we were a part of at the time. But God was the one that gave me the prophecy, and he was the one that was going to bring it to pass. It wasn't my doing, but he was the one that was going to bring it to pass. I, at the time, had a lot of control over my life. I was planning, I was writing lists, I was doing tasks, I was being fruitful in my own strength. But I really felt when I went to this one-day conference that God said to me, "Leave those things and prioritize me and put me on your list." And so, he was telling me to put my trust into him and to seek him and just to grow closer to him. So I just like to read this last little bit from my Christmas newsletter. "So this year I have felt like my capacity has been stretched immensely, causing me to rely on God more, who gives me strength for the day ahead and the peace in trying situations. God has been so faithful to us in providing all of our needs and the comfort at the right times. I have had my fair share of tears this year, and I'm sure that there will be many more to come. But life's lessons bring us closer to friends, to family, and to God. Life is richer when we are honest and connect deeper with each other, when we celebrate together on the mountain peak and mourn together in the valleys of life. In John 15:5, Jesus says that I am the vine, sorry, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will be much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So, that brings us, if you could just jump to slide 9. Thanks. So the name Adonai implies a relationship with God, that he is the Lord and we are his servants. And this prophecy in Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 7, talks about the relationship between Jesus, the Messiah, who is here described as a servant to God. "Here is my servant who I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope." So next slide. And this is what God, the Lord Jehovah, says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk in it. I, the Lord Jehovah, have called you in righteousness, talking about Jesus Messiah. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and watch over you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. So this prophecy of the coming Messiah was 600 years before Jesus came. It was spoken during the time that the Israelites were exiled in Babylon. God was preparing them, speaking hope over them. There is someone who will come, who will bring healing and bring freedom and bring light in dark places. God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God's promises bring hope and purpose and perspective if we can be faithful and lean into his leading as our Lord Adonai. So now comes Jesus. So Jesus was born to a virgin teenager in a humble stable in all of his humanity. Jesus grew up among the people. He wasn't in a castle or grew up with kings. Christ was God, yet he was also man. Philippians 2, verses 6 to 11. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. And therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord Adonai, to the glory of God Jehovah the Father. So Christ humbled himself and is obedient, even to death. We do not call him Lord because of his power or his riches or his birthright or his success. Jesus does not lord over us or condemn us. We don't call Jesus Lord out of fear of what might come if we don't. But we can come to him boldly because it was while we were still sinners that he made a way for us. We call Christ Adonai because it is who he is. He is Lord over all. So Jesus is Adonai over illness. And there's so many scriptures about Christ's healings and miracles that he did to the people while he was here on earth. Jesus is Adonai over creation. And this is when he was at the lake when there's a big storm. And the disciples say, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Jesus is Adonai over the church. Over sin and death. So in Romans 5, verses 8 to 11, God has shown us how much he loves us. It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. By his blood, we are now put right with God. How much more then will we be saved by him from God's anger? We were God's enemies, but he, God, made us his friends through the death of his son, Jesus. Now that we are God's friends, how much more will we be saved by Christ's resurrected life? But that is not all. We rejoice because of what God has done through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has now made us friends with God. And I put in brackets, reconciliation between God and us. So Jesus is Adonai, Lord over us. And in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6, it says, "Yet there is for us only one God, Jehovah, the Father, who is the creator of all things and for whom we live. And there is only one Lord, Adonai, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created and through whom we live. We only live because of Christ." And the last point is Jesus is Adonai over the church. So Ephesians 1, verses 19, 20 to 23. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. He is the head of our church, and we are complete through him. So, just in case you weren't sure about who Jesus is, Colossians 1, 15 to 20 sums it up pretty nicely. So this is talking about Christ supreme. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything else was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made all things that we can see and the things that we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. And everything was created through him and for him. He existed, this is Jesus, before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is the first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled himself, everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So, Jesus was God's plan of reconciliation with his people from the start. God was pleased to live in Christ, and it was while we were sinners that he died for us. It wasn't anything that we did, but it was everything that Christ did. He was holy and blameless. He lived the perfect life and was obedient even to death. It was who he was. It was what he did. It was his compassion that made the reconciliation possible. Christ came and served his people by dying in our place for us. Then Christ defeated death by rising and living again. This is why he is absolutely worthy of all praise and worthy to be called Adonai, Lord and Master. So, what is our part in all of this? How are we reconciled? What must we do to be saved? So Paul sums it up pretty well. He says in Romans 10, 9 to 13, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord Adonai and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scriptures say, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord, Adonai, over all and richly blesses all who call on him. He doesn't leave anyone out. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, Adonai, will be saved. So if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that he raised Christ from the dead, you will be saved. The promises that God made to Abraham long, long ago about his nation Israel are now promises available to us. Christ has made a way for all people, Jew and Gentile, to be reconciled to God. Christ calls us to follow him and follow his leading. So what is our role? So in Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands." In Proverbs 3:3-6, it says to trust in your Lord Adonai with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So all we need to do is love God and love others. If the whole Bible was summed up in two things, it's that we love God and we love others just as Christ did. He doesn't lord himself over us. He doesn't force us to do things. But God woos us or brings us into a place where he says, if you can just love me and love others, then I will lead you and I will guide you. If you can just trust in God Adonai with your heart and lean not on your own understanding and submit all your ways to him, then he will guide us and he will lead our paths and make them straight. So, if I could just have everyone to stand. Thank you. So this morning, if you've been feeling like you've been carrying around a rock of disappointment, if you've been forcing things in your lives that maybe God has promised you, but you've been carrying them in your own strength, I would love to pray with you this morning. If this morning, when we've been talking about Jesus Christ as Lord, and you've said, yeah, I do believe in Jesus, and I have accepted him as my Saviour, but I haven't confessed yet with my lips that Jesus Christ is Lord in my life, then I would also love to pray with you. If you feel like, just like the weight of this rock, that things in your life have been really, really heavy, it says in God's word that my burden is easy, my yoke is light. I feel like this morning, God just wants to connect with those that are carrying a heavy weight, that are doing things in their own strength and not letting God be God. So just as we finish up, I'd just love to pray, and then anyone who feels like their time here is finished, then you're welcome just to head up to the Wilson Hall and have morning tea. I just ask that you would do it respectfully for those who feel like they want to just sit in the space a little bit longer. So, let's pray. God Adonai, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us, God. We thank you that you are the one that made a way for us, that even while we were still sinners, you made it possible to be reconciled with you. God, we thank you that you are so worthy, that you are Lord over all things, that you're Lord over sickness, you're Lord over creation, you're Lord over sin and death, you're Lord over the church, and you are Lord over us. God, I ask this week that we would just lean into your leading, that we'd be guided by your Spirit, that we would serve others as you served us. I ask that you would be with us all this week. as we call you Jesus Christ, Lord and Saviour. We love you in this place, God. Amen.